I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Today we're going to spend some time talking about conditions in Pakistan, where as many as 20 million people have been affected by severe flooding. United Nations officials have called a special General Assembly session for today, saying it may be the greatest humanitarian crisis in recent history, with more people affected than the earthquake in Haiti and the Southeast Asian tsunami combined. So why are offers of assistance trickling in and far below the level needed to help the millions in need? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Also today, we'll talk about the firestorm Dr. Laura created when she used the N-word over and over again. We'll talk about her decision to quit her show, She Says, because of that firestorm. We'll speak with a media critic, a talk radio insider, and a culture critic about it. And a visit with Los Lobos. They started out doing weddings in East L.A. 30 years later, they are still making music and making people think. But first, Pakistan. The death toll from massive flooding there stands at about 1,600 people. And that may pale in comparison to the hundreds of thousands who died in recent natural disasters. But as we said, as many as 20 million people may have been affected there, according to the World Health Organization. And a high percentage, as many as 6 million by one account, have yet to see any help. And the aid from wealthy countries like the U.S., Britain, and Saudi Arabia, relief agencies say the aid is just starting to trickle in and is still far below the level of need. We wanted to know more about conditions there and what the aid is needed for and why the aid situation is as it is described. So first, we reached out to Marcus Pryor of the United Nations World Food Program. We reached him by Skype in Islamabad.
We initially started our distributions within 24 hours of the situation being clear up in the north of the country. It took a while for the full impact of the initial flooding to become clear, but we've now distributed food, a one-month supply, to over a million people. But the number doesn't mean a great deal to us because we know there's so many others, up to 6 million and possibly more, who continue to need our food assistance. It's a massive, massive scale of need from the north of the country right down to the south, the size of England from north to south. And we're doing everything we can from different logistics hubs in the north, in the central province of Punjab, down to Sindh in the south, to make sure that we move the food that we have as quickly as possible to those that need it.
Again, that was Marcus Pryor, Regional Public Affairs Director for the United Nations World Food Program. We were able to reach him by Skype in Islamabad. And now Mark Ward joins us here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Mr. Ward directs the Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance for the United States Agency for International Development, known as USAID. Thank you so much for joining us.
Michelle, thanks for having me.
Now, as we were speaking, you have brought us, you have a very deep background in Asia. So I was wondering why the devastation is as extensive as it seems to be. I mean, this is an area with a history of monsoon. So why is the devastation so bad?
We've never seen the three major rivers in Pakistan flood before at exactly the same time. At least we haven't seen it in 90 years. And that has just overwhelmed the country. You're right, they get monsoons every year, but this, with three rivers flooding at once and the extraordinary rains, which, by the way, haven't stopped, that's just been more than the systems there can handle.
And I want to note that the U.S. pledge for aid has risen from $90 million to $150 million. There are news reports that Saudi Arabia has raised $20 million to support the flood victims. Kuwait's offered $5 million. But donors note that, for example, there are almost $300 million in aid pledged after the Kashmir quake in the first 10 days. There was $1 billion was pledged within the first 10 days for Haiti versus, $400 or $500 million seems like a lot. It seems like a big figure, but compared to the number of people who are affected by it. So the question I have for you is, why does it seem that aid is not being generated as quickly as the need would seem to warrant?
Michelle, if you will, let me first tell you about what's going on today, which I hope will generate interest in increasing contributions to the effort. Everything in Pakistan right now depends on the weather. If we have a good day, if the rains let up, we're able to do a lot. And we had a pretty good day today. Our military, which has 15 helicopters flying rescue missions in the country, was able to deliver almost 70,000 pounds of mostly food today. They were also able to rescue over 300 people that were from stranded communities. And on some days where the weather's better, they're able to double and triple those numbers. But the weather does dictate how effective we can be in the air. We never completely slow down. We never completely stop. Even on the bad days, we're using four-wheel drive trucks, and we're even using mules to try to get food and necessary commodities into to areas that have been cut off by the water. As far as the level of giving, my colleague from WFP explained the magnitude of the problem. It's huge, but access is a problem. Normally, by this point in a disaster, we would have been able to do a proper assessment of the whole country, get in there, see what the needs are, and then with the UN in the lead and the government of Pakistan, be able to make an appeal to the international community, we need this much help. The weather isn't allowing us to do that in Pakistan. So the initial UN appeal, which came out, I believe it was last week, for $460 million, we know that's not enough. That was just a first attempt, a first assessment of the immediate needs. And I'm happy to say that international pledges now against that appeal have come to 50%. And at the event that you mentioned, where Secretary Clinton will appear today in New York, we're confident that pledges against commitments of countries against the UN appeal will go up even more.
So, Ishii, you don't think there's donor fatigue at work? I mean, the suggestion is made that the international community is just tapped out, and others suggest that perhaps it's the nature of the country in need of assistance, that there's just a skepticism about the government there, a skepticism about how the aid might be used. Do you think either of those theories is correct?
I think the nature of this disaster, which is an accumulating disaster. When this disaster started, I didn't even know about it. And I get emails all night about earthquakes and disasters around the world in my position at the Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance. This one was very slow to build, very slow to get our attention. But I think it's starting now. You quoted, before you introduced me, the commitments that we've now seen from Saudi Arabia. We've now have a commitment from Japan to bring helicopters. We're beginning to hear more, and I'm sure we will hear more today in New York from this special meeting. Do we need more? Absolutely. We need more from the international community. We also need more from private Americans.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We hope you'll come back and see us again. Mark Ward is serving as director of the Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance at the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and he was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studio. Director Ward, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.